Hello and welcome to the Innovative Missional Ministry Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner, video journalist and digital media director for the Michigan District. And today we're joined by Penny Armbruster from the Luke Clinic, who serves as the executive director. And Penny, I'll let you jump right in with some of the exciting news that you have to share.
Thank you, Jeff. Yes, we are beyond excited here at the Luke Clinic. Many of us sat at home watching on our screens as the tragedy unfolded in Afghanistan as the United States pulled out. And I'm not sure if everybody's aware, but the state of Michigan actually took a significant number of refugees into the city of Detroit, specifically is relevant to me, a number of other places within the state. But we took about 250 refugees in Detroit. And at the time, there was a lot of interest and everybody wanted to mobilize and do whatever they could to help. And so we threw our hat in the ring and said, we are more than willing to take care of the prenatal care and infant care needs of these refugees. Because as you know, Jeff, it's impossible to access care without Medicaid in this country. And even actually, the reality is once you've got Medicaid, it's very hard to get care. So we offered in August, and probably at the end of January, we got back a yes. So we had kind of thought, oh, well, this opportunity has passed, but it hasn't. And so we kind of galvanized and decided that to pull something off like this, we really needed to partner with a lot of other organizations. The primary barrier to providing care is the language. The languages are Pashto and Dari. And as you can imagine, trying to find translators who speak those languages, it's pretty limiting. The University of Michigan is always our strongest partner, and they immediately managed to galvanize. And we have a fully staffed clinic with really everybody we could ever dream of having, from a maternal fetal medicine doctor, which is practically hard to come by, right down to med techs, ultrasound techs, phlebotomists. But the interesting part was we can't do anything with any of those resources if we can't translate. So this is where we began really building on some relationships that God had been growing over the past 5 years. I have networked with a number of mission organizations in the city of Dearborn, people who are trying to minister to Muslims, which is a very long, arduous, and strenuous process. And so we all get together 4 times a year to encourage one another and to share what we're doing. And so I reached out to this group and said, look, this is the perfect opportunity for us to all kind of come together, you know, beat the bushes, see what you can find. These are relationships that you're going to build. I'm going to give you a family. Each translator will have a family. And so the goal is not only to provide simple translation in the clinic, but to build on that relationship outside clinic, helping them go to appointments, sewing into their family, building relationship. And these are very equipped missionaries who've been working in the Middle East, have worked abroad, some of whom have been specifically actually in Kabul in Afghanistan. So I'm super excited that at very short notice, we've been able to put together not only a pop-up clinic on a Saturday in the middle of Detroit, but that we've partnered with these extensive roots already in the community that are designed to specifically minister to this kind of a population. So, I'm pretty excited.
So obviously there had to be other obstacles too. You talked a little bit about the translation. What are some of those other things that have popped up or maybe that you know will pop up here that you'll have to face?
I think the first thing is, you know, we all have the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. As Americans, we love to do whatever we can do. And I knew I would have no problem garnering help for this clinic. But the trick is, how do you provide help in a way that they are comfortable receiving it? So simply down to, you're running an all-day clinic. Moms are going to be there for at least 4 hours getting, you know, all their lab work done, their ultrasounds done, their doctor's appointments done, seeing a nurse. It's a significant process. We want to feed them. Well, pretty much any Lutheran church I can call and they're going to offer to make meals. But the trick is we're not equipped to know how to provide a meal that is going to be appropriate culturally. So again, we partnered with the missionaries in the Dearborn area who are going to be working with local businesses who are donating foods. So that's just a simple thing. Then you have to feed all of our staff. That's pretty significant. Luckily, there are churches in the Detroit area that are such strong partners to Family of God that we made a very quick call to Christ our Savior in Livonia, and Pastor Davenport immediately hooked me up with somebody who's going to be providing meals for the staff. But again, it's so hard for us to get the numbers down because the state of Michigan initially told us there was 35 patients. Then there was only 15 patients. Then there was 15 patients that we were scheduled, but a number that hadn't been scheduled that they weren't quite sure about. And so I need to be able to give numbers to say, this is how many meals I need for volunteers. This is what we need. This is how many translators I need. And it's hitting a moving target. But I think we're at a point now where we just have to let go and let God, really, because we're going to do the best we can. Everyone's going to do the best they can. When you're putting up a pop-up clinic, I tell everybody it's like putting up a military hospital. You pitch your tent and you don't quite know what you've got coming, no matter what. Another fun one is that my clinical nurse was on maternity leave until the 1st of March. And so she was going to work from home, but God bless her. She's decided that she's coming in a week early because she really understands that she's key to being here and making a difference. So everything is an obstacle, but everything is an opportunity, right? So it just has been such a blessing to me that everyone I reach out to is so flexible and so helpful.
That's awesome. Yeah. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know the Loop Clinic is in Detroit and in Flint, helping mothers, expecting mothers, babies up to a year old with that free healthcare. So you talk about those obstacles and everything that you're facing. And how are you doing? How are you feeling about this? Obviously, there's some nerves that you talked about, but got to kind of give that to God right now and see how it happens, right?
God and I have a lot of 3 o'clock in the morning conversations.
I bet.
I think my skill set, this is perfect for me. Like, I thrive in this environment, but it's definitely overwhelming for my staff because they're used to having a lot more information and have done a history and physical before a client even shows up. So you know what you're expecting. And it's the detail. So for example, my office manager today, she makes name tags and she's like, Penny, I don't know what their names are. They've got like six names and what are we going to call them? And how do we pronounce these names? And can somebody tell us like what's appropriate culturally for welcoming them? That's a big deal because I remember the first Muslim patient that arrived, we had been praying that we could crack the Muslim community. Mm-hmm. First one arrived, husband and wife, she was wearing the full hijab, you know, down to the floor. And like an idiot, I couldn't help myself. And I put my hand out to shake his hand and say, welcome to the Loop Clinic. Culturally so inappropriate. He put me straight away and told me, I do not shake the hands of women I'm not married to. So, you know, just the little things like they don't want to be, my staff don't want to offend anybody. They want to be able to make, we know how to make our moms feel comfortable. But these moms have been displaced. These moms have been in a hotel since August. They haven't been able to find them accommodation outside the hotels. They haven't really been able to start their new life yet. So there's an element of trauma that they're bringing with them. Mm-hmm. And all of our patients come with trauma. Trauma is an enormous part of what we do. But culturally, how do we begin to help them process, help them feel safe, take care of them? I mean, culturally, they're not used to prenatal care or delivering in a hospital setting like we do. Mm-hmm. They're not used to having access. They're not used to all the lab tests, all the things that we just take for granted. Some of them are presented with latent tuberculosis. We need a treatment protocol for that. It's very, very overwhelming for them. But I just come down to, at the end of the day, we have an amazing prayer team at the Loop Clinic of churches that have signed up. And we're just going to pray this in and we're going to trust that our hearts are really what's at the forefront and the Holy Spirit's in the middle of everything that we're doing. And he's a God of detail and we're leaning heavily on him.
And in Flint and in Detroit, you have this model that is based upon relationships and building those relationships. So this is the first chance that you get to see these mothers.
It is. And we typically find that it takes a good 3 appointments to build a relationship and build trust. That first one is a little deer in the headlights. They come with a lot of baggage. Just in our own culture, it was explained to me one time that for Black men, the police officers are very threatening and frightening, and there's a lack of trust. For Black women and women of color, healthcare providers are frightening, and there's a lot of trust. And that was shocking to me. But in the 6 years I've been working in Detroit and Flint, it's become very apparent. And it's taken us a long time culturally to figure out when a patient presents who's underdocumented and is really quite terrified, is this going to affect my application for my immigration status? Are you going to turn me into the police? If somebody is speaking another language and relying on a translator, that's a nervous portion. It makes it even harder to click and get a relationship. So we have been juggling and growing in our skill set to build trust. This is going to be a whole new journey. So we've dedicated Saturday, the 26th of February, to a nothing but Afghan patients day. And then after that, we're going to see them at our normal Thursday clinics with everybody else. But I really hope that having one translator per family and really these translators beginning to build relationships in and outside clinic is going to help not only put the patient at ease, but ultimately we're a great commission, great compassion ministry. Mm-hmm. So the compassion is the medical care, but like ultimately with every patient, our goal is to find out where they are on their spiritual journey and how can we help move them forward. And clearly we have, you know, a huge bunch of traumatized Muslim patients coming in. So clearly, you know, that's a significant barrier to overcome. You have a group of women that we don't know, that we don't speak the language, that are highly traumatized. And we need to, as quickly as we can, build some kind of boundary and relationship. It's quite a hurdle to climb, but these are just when I start going over scripture with the staff. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. And lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, trust him. And that's the fun part of ministry. Like, we're going to do the best we can, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's really what God is going to do during this time.
So you've been in Detroit for years. A few months ago, though, you partnered with the Flint Mission Network and opened up the clinic in Flint at the Franklin Avenue Mission. How's that going right now?
So I always knew that we couldn't assume 6 years in Detroit would mean that we would necessarily be able to just slide right into Flint and figure Flint out. Flint and Detroit are very different animals. A lot of things are very similar. You've obviously got, you know, huge problems with the infant mortality rate and access to care. Those don't change, but the people and the culture is different. On the positive side, I find the support systems in Flint, the Department of Health and Human Services, all the people in Flint who are working to help people, mothers and babies, are so well networked and work so well together and are so functional that really I feel like within 3 months, we are further ahead in Flint than we have been in Detroit as far as partnerships go. However, the patient population is significantly different. There is a lot of different trauma, a lot more drug use. Really in Detroit in 6 years, I could count on one hand how many patients tested positive for hard drugs or were consistent users of hard drugs. It's not really the problem for us, but in Flint, it's a significant problem. When you're in that situation, you don't care about your health. You don't care about your child's health. You are hopeless. And in a very short period of time, I'm finding women presenting that are incredibly high risk. We had a woman present last week to clinic whose blood pressure was so high, she was at risk from stroking right there in the clinic. And she had no desire to go to the hospital whatsoever, to the ER, and no desire to, she was just overwhelmed. Like, making it through every day was impossible. I was offering to drive her. I was going to take her. I was going to stay with her. So we have to look at a totally different way to partner with women in those situations. What do we have to do? How can we connect? How can we build relationship that we then can address some of these barriers, some of these struggles, some of this hopelessness, which ultimately it's not medical, it's Jesus. Like, really, it's the other way around. In Detroit, we hit medical and then we use the medical to move into Jesus. I think in Flint, we're going to have to really work on the Jesus portion to be able to get to the medical portion.
Yeah, that's interesting and shocking, kind of surprising too. I'm sure it surprised you as well.
It is. I mean, they're wonderful patients. I mean, we were all saying these are some of the funniest, nicest, most friendly patients that we've ever had that we just fell in love with the second they walked in the door. And yet they have generationally got got so many things stacked against them and so much struggle. It's a lot to deal with. But, you know, that's another example how God, you know, I'm a huge proponent of partnering the community. And one of Christian's strongest partners, Pastor Jones, I think, is one of the sisters from the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And this patient that I was struggling with, that I couldn't connect with, I couldn't follow up with, who wasn't really doing anything I needed her to do, immediately when Christian put me in touch with a sister from the Catholic Church, she was an incredible advocate for this patient. And I think that's going to be something else that we're relying on. We're really going to be networking with other churches and other agencies, because it's going to take the combined effort of all of us. And I actually get excited about that, because I really think that is such a God thing for us to be able to work and partner with other groups.
Well, we will definitely be sending prayers for everything that's going on in Detroit, in Flint, and especially with what's going on this Saturday, the 26th, with the Afghan refugees. Penny, amazing work that you guys are doing. Just incredible. And we want to say thank you so much for joining us. And also thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day. God bless.